Joining us on the telephone this morning is Dave McMahon. He's the former state archaeologist for the state of Alaska. He's now just a consulting archaeologist. And Dave, you've been doing some interesting work over on Kruzov Island.
Yeah, we've been looking for the survivor camp of the Russian ship Neva, or Neva, I guess is the correct pronunciation, and looking for evidence of the wreck itself.
And this really is a big deal for Sitka, because this ship, the Neva, was pivotal in this community's history, right?
Right. It was pivotal in Sitka's history, but also it's important internationally as the first vessel to do round-the-world Russian voyages, and, you know, as the first Russian ship to call in Australia and to call in Hawaii and so forth. So it was a pretty important ship at the time.
And when was it lost, and how was it lost?
Well, it was lost in early 1813. It was sailing from Okhotsk, Siberia, to Sitka in the fall, and it seemed like everything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, they were getting blown all over the place. Instead of cutting straight across, as folks were advising, they decided to go down the Aleutian chain, hoping to put in and get water. Unfortunately, that never happened. The conditions were just too bad. So they were blown all over the place. And finally, in November of 1812, they ended up in Prince William Sound. But that time, a lot of the crew and passengers were very sick. Some of them had passed away by that time. So they had to make a choice as to whether to try to winter in the Sound or to make a run for Sitka. And they chose the latter, thinking that they, in their weakened condition, they might not be able to survive the winter in Prince William Sound. And, you know, they almost made it to Sitka. The conditions were pretty good, but, you know, they foundered sort of on the last leg of the voyage. And, you know, there were around 32 that died as a result of the shipwreck. And there were 28 survivors, two of whom died on shore. So there were 26 survivors there for almost a month.
And how do we know all these details, Dave?
Well, there, you know, we do have several accounts from survivors that were translated into English. The Sitka Historical Society and the Alaska Historical Society collaborated on a little publication in 1979 that included some of the translations. And then there's another one that's been done since then. Unfortunately, all the official records, so far as we know, are lost. So we're relying on the accounts of various sailors, you know, and the accounts don't always agree with each other, but the gist of them are generally the same.
The fact that they had a survivor's camp suggests that people did get off the ship and live to tell about it and write about it. How did they eventually find their way to safety?
Well, according to the accounts, a couple of folks were dispatched to look for help, and they came across some Alaska Native boys in a canoe who took them in and took them back to Sitka. And Baranoff immediately, you know, sent a rescue party for them.
Dave, I'm thinking about this in terms of its significance as an archaeological find. Isn't there this kind of needle in the haystack approach? I mean, the forest grows so lavishly here that what are the chances of finding something like this? I mean, is this a really remarkable kind of discovery, or did you actually know where to look?
You know, there was some luck involved, but this came about in 2012 when I was still working with the state. I put together a collaborative project with the U.S. Forest Service, and my thoughts were that we should go out and just walk the beach at a really low tide, and, you know, we had a general idea of where the wreck happened, but I thought that, given my background in working on Russian-American sites, that I would probably have a better idea. I would be better able to separate Russian materials from later materials on the beach. So we went out, and the Sitka Historical Society was a partner, too. Bob Mettinger played a big role in getting this off the ground. But we went out on the lowest tide of the year in June 2012. Before that time, we had worked with NOAA scientists and others to put together historic tide data. We looked at satellite images. We compared all the survivor accounts and so forth, and came up with the area where we thought the wreck should have occurred. And we went there. Unfortunately, we didn't find too much on the beach, but we went to where we believed the survivors would have gotten to set up camp. And that's where we began finding Russian materials from the right period. So I guess it really was, luck did play a role, but a lot of planning went behind the effort as well.
And what, when you say Russian materials, what kinds of things are included in that?
In 2012, we found two caches of Russian axes stacked as if they had been in crates. And Russian axes are distinctive because they have a little barb in front of the handle. So they were unquestionably Russian. Sort of precipitated the whole process of applying for a National Science Foundation grant and consulting with all the various stakeholders and so forth to try to do more work. Once we discovered these axes in 2012, we were very hesitant to disturb the ground any further until we had the resources in place to actually do what needed to be done at the site.
So is the excavation complete now, or is further work planned there?
We're hoping to go back next summer with a smaller effort. I don't have any of the details worked out yet. Of course, it is in the forest, so it requires permits from the Forest Service and further consultation with all the stakeholders, including the Sitka tribe. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to work out some sort of agreement that will allow us to go back out for a week or two next summer.
And now that you've found and confirmed the survivors' camp, is there any effort towards actually finding the wreck of the Neva itself, or is that just considered out of the question?
No, that effort is sort of ongoing, but, that whole outer coast is a really difficult place to try to do any dives or underwater work. In August 2012, we went out there with a really good marine magnetometer, and others had tried the same thing in the 1980s. But unfortunately, the volcanic rocks from Mount Edgecombe create so much background noise that it's impossible to pull a signal out. So we're going to explore that a little further and maybe talk to some experts that may have some answers as to how to get around that. But we've also been trying to use side-scan sonar a little bit. Unfortunately, the air in the kelp stems, precludes a good sonar signal. So you really have to be out there, during the winter or early spring. And we're hoping to be able to get back and do some sonar work.
Well, it's a very challenging circumstances. I know a lot of people who go out to the Cape will tell you that even on the best days out there, sometimes you run into some really pretty lively seas and some pretty brisk winds that could make any of that work really difficult. But what an amazing find to have finally located at least the survivor camp of this ship that was so influential in shaping the course of history, literally, here in Sitka.
Yeah, it was quite the discovery. So people have been looking for it for 200 years. So, we haven't found any smoking guns or tea sets with Neva inscribed on them. But, the circumstances and the whole flavor of the collection just point to a survivor's camp. So I'm 99% sure that that's what we found.
Dave McMahon is a former state archaeologist. He's a consulting archaeologist now. We've been talking about his excavation of what is believed to be a survivor camp of the wreck of the Neva. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us, Dave.
Sure. Have a good day.